Hello and welcome, welcome. My name is Sophia. I'm with my husband, Scott. Scott, say hi.
Hi, how you doing?
This is the Higher Self Take the Wheel podcast. Okay, so we've been here before. I'm going to just let everything out in the open. It took us a while to get to this point. And to be honest, we have recorded so many podcasts and I guess failed, or what would you say they were?
Not many. It was like three.
Three, and then we did one before
that. So we recorded three podcasts. The first one we thought was pretty good. And then the second one we talked about our business, which did not go well because it felt like I was interviewing Sophia. And then the third one was just more fluff. Our initial name of the podcast was Late to the Potty.
Yes.
Which, like, yes. A, we're not from Boston.
Right. B,
and then it's like, well.
Well, this is, okay, so this is what I wanted to touch upon. This is a change of the title. We went from Late to the Potty, which was the original title of this podcast.
Which meant nothing.
And we continue to record podcasts under that name, realizing this is aimless. Like, this is, what is our intentions? And this is the lesson we learned with this.
So what is your intention?
My intention with this podcast is it to be a healing podcast. I want us to figure out our healing and maybe help other people on the way and their, like, healing journey. When I say that, like, that comes back to the title, Higher Self, Take the Wheel. What does that mean? So for me, it means to get to a place where you are at your highest path in this life, basically, where you are taking the steps of healing to get to your highest, ultimate highest. What's another word for path? I'm blanking out here.
It's, I don't know, because it's really hard to describe this without sounding super pretentious and like you have the answer.
For you, yeah.
I'll speak for myself then. I do feel uncomfortable calling this podcast Higher Self Take the Wheel because I don't feel like I am any authority to tell anybody what the right path is. Like, what your path is your path, and you have to figure out, like, the burden is on you, I'm sorry, to figure out your path.
Yes.
The best we can do here is share our experiences, our stories of our lived experience so far. Between the two of us, we're both in our mid to late 30s.
Yeah.
So
that's what the point of this is to share our experience. And if people can get anything out of it, they can hopefully get something out of it. I don't know. I'm not sure what you're going to get out of this.
I'm 36 years old. I think I'm at a point now where I've lived enough of a, like, I guess, unconventional life. Like, I've never really had a 9-to-5 job. I've worked.
Yeah.
And that's, there's a whole lot of guilt and shame that can be unpacked there from our current economic system. I'm not going to be self-conscious like we were the first time. Like, dance around. Like, oh, that's all capitalism's fault. Like, no, it is capitalism's fault. And we're going to get down to the nitty-gritty. We're going to share our experiences in this system. And we're here to, like, try and fail like everything else in this system has failed, but hopefully we can fail in an interesting and exciting way to open up maybe an opportunity in the future.
So if you don't know my husband Scott, that is a real taste of him right now. He is on one right now. He is in a mood. I can tell you're in a mood of like determination and like what are you feeling right now? Just
angst, anxiety, determination.
Yeah, it's been a rough week. I'm not gonna lie. So this week, I don't know when's this coming out, but this week has been Valentine's week, and I just
Valentine's
feel like, Valentine's.
It's Valentine's.
It's the times of the Valen. Okay, and this is one thing I would like to address right off the bat. I'm not the most well-spoken person. If if anyone, I do crystal lives where I sell crystals. I cannot pronounce shit. I cannot say things like clearly. I have a lazy tongue. And probably the last thing I should do is, you know, start a podcast. But here we are. I am going to get through it. And I just, I don't know if I'm not even going to apologize for it. You know what? I'm just going to take a stand. It is what it is. You're just going to have to deal with my speech impediment. Like, because it's going to happen. It's going to happen. It's my charm, as Scott says, has said before. It's the charm of me not being able to talk, you know?
Yeah. So we talked about this last night. We were listening to someone who said, something I thought was very insightful. The person who, like, the thing you find that disgusts you about yourself,
yes,
like, it, for your example, the speech impediment.
Yeah.
Like, there will be people in your life that will love that, which disgusts, yes, you. So my question is to you then, what is the thing that you love about me that you know disgusts me about myself?
Oh, man. Okay. You really put me in the spot, because
I know there's plenty, but just name one.
Okay, so what disgusts you about yourself is
that
how
you love about
sensitive you are.
Okay.
You are super sensitive, and I know for you that makes your life harder, or you feel like you're just not like the manliest of mans because you're so sensitive. But for you, it is the reason why I don't make me cry. It's the reason why I love you like so much. And I wouldn't be with you if you weren't such a like love, heart-centered guy. And I don't think many people know that about you, to be honest, because you put on this rough McGruff face. You have like a resting bitch face, I must say.
Is that macho though? That's more like, that seems more feminine to me. Like, what? Having a like a resting bitch face.
Oh, well, I guess I can, I just applied it to, what is it if it is a guy? Like, what's it called if it's a guy? If you just have a resting angry face, is it bitch face or resting?
I don't know.
Mean mugging all the time. It's not like you're mean mugging. You just have this face of like discontentment. Like, I'm not going to lie.
General discontentment. Yeah. That's my neutral face.
Yeah. Your neutral face is discontentment. So I think it comes off as, I don't know about this guy. You know what I mean? But you're actually a really kind-hearted soul, and you care too much sometimes about everyone's feelings or what they're thinking. But
it's exhausting.
It's exhausting. I know you've told me many times, and I know I've been there too. I've been there too. But yeah, that is one of the most great qualities about you. One of the best qualities about you.
Can we just have this podcast be about the things you love about me? So, so then my self-esteem gets boosted.
Right.
I could just listen to you. Like,
yeah, Scott's love language, and if you haven't heard of love language, it's the way that you receive love or give love. And Scott's way of receiving love is words of affirmation. I always have to tell him, you're doing such a good job. You're such a good husband. I love you so much. That was such a good job you did on the dishes. This is such a good meal, or whatever it is that you did. And like,
external validation.
Yeah, external words of affirmation. And for me, I don't have that at all. Like, I can't take compliments, really. Like, when people compliment, it's like, okay, thank you. I've learned to accept them, but it's not something like I need to hear necessarily, but I need other stuff. I need cuddles. I need
physical affection.
Physical affection, acts of service, you know. So we're different in that regards, but yeah. So I need to work on that more for you. I know I do. I try. I really do try. Am I getting better?
Yes and no.
The silence on that. Okay, go on. Yes, that is something I have to work on, is words of affirmation with Scott. And what have you been trying to work on with me, with my love language?
And the last fight we got in, verbal altercation, you told me that you feel like I take you for granted sometimes.
Yeah.
And that stuck with me. Like, that's always something I've kind of like wondered about internally.
Yeah.
The fact that I did wonder about it, I was like, oh, is it my anxiety? Am I just, you know, thinking the worst case scenario or whatever, when you're just crazy and everything, and she doesn't think that? But then he told me, and it's like, yeah, that makes a lot of sense. So I'm trying to
express your gratitude.
Express, yeah.
Well, then that makes me wonder, do I need words of affirmation too? How would you express
it? Well, I don't know if it's... I get what you're saying. Like, you don't need the like emotional validation that I need, like via like verbal affirmations, like attaboys.
Yeah, attaboys. That's what my friends
call them.
Yeah,
attaboy. Attaboys. Maybe men need that attaboy more, and that's why it's called attaboy. But acts of service, like picking up around the house, yes, doing more of the dirty work, yes, even though I do most of the like cleaning and kitchen work now and cooking, I would say.
you would. And that's, I'm seriously so, so thankful. And I know that is a blessing for you to be cleaning the dishes most of the time and cooking. Once in a while, I'll jump in there, you know, but you do take over on that, and I'm very appreciative of that,
and
for sure.
And the reason that is the way it is because where we are in our lives right now, so we own, for the listeners who don't know,
if there's one,
we own our own business. We have our own business called The Peaceful Pieces.
The Peaceful Pieces.
Sophia created it. Well, long story short, you created it with... it was initially with somebody else.
Yeah, and then it was. Yeah.
You moved on. Mm-hmm. And then I started riding your coattails. That's the short version.
Well, I mean, I guess that's the short version. Yeah. Well, if you want to put it that brutally to yourself. But no, we are now a partnered team because I wouldn't be able to do this without you, you know?
Yes, but it's mostly... The majority of the energy in the business is your energy right now. Like, it's you started, it was your idea. You put in most of the mental work. So that's why but it is a good thing for me because, you want to get into like quitting our jobs, our previous jobs?
Yeah, we can touch upon it.
Because I think for me, that's a big part of this process for me. And it's something I really struggle with.
Yeah. This is one of the first topics that you've discovered on your healing journey is with you quitting your job and then helping me. It's like you kind of like have to deal with that whole society pressure of, you know, a man's supposed to provide for his woman or whatever. So you're like dealing with all those like... programmed beliefs, like
intense insecurity.
Yeah,
intense. Like, so I quit the summer of 2020. So I was one of the many who quit their jobs during COVID. The Great Resignation.
Yeah, the Great Resignation.
So I was working. That's how we met each other. We worked in retail. We worked at a grocery chain called Kroger.
Yes.
And you quit well before me to start doing the business full time.
Mm-hmm.
And I...
Only like a year before, right? I did March 1919. Jesus, that would be really old. No, March 2019. Mm-hmm. I quit. And then you quit like just probably a year and some
July
months later.
Next year.
Yeah.
So COVID definitely helped soften the blow.
Yeah.
It wasn't like I had to make the decision entirely on my own. I feel like I have COVID to thank.
Yeah.
Weirdly enough, because without like the ridiculous, because once COVID hit, the ridiculousness of the world, it really started to show itself.
Mm-hmm.
And going to a retail job during a pandemic is a trip. And it actually, it had two different effects on me. I mean, this is a kind of an aside, but if we can cut it if you want. It wasn't all bad. It was like, oh my God, now I really have to quit. No, like the pandemic made me realize how silly it was. And like, it's now or never for me to like, what's it called? Betting on yourself.
Yeah.
Just kind of like getting out of this system, trying to like work. I'm more of like my own terms or whatever. But also a lot of the power came back to like service workers during the pandemic.
Yeah.
So I had
essential
this,
workers. That's that, when yeah, that term came.
Like essential worker kind of became like heroic.
Yeah. You were, I remember that because you were heroic. Now instead of like the perspective of like a lowly, you know, grocery,
less than human,
almost less than human, like grocery worker, now you are heroes of the pandemic. Yeah. Like the postal workers, the grocery workers, all those people, DoorDash people, or all those people that put themselves out there. So you were considered like a hero, and I'm sure that had some kind of a...
It gave me an enormous confidence boost.
Yeah.
And the reason I was able to do it was because, okay, so we both worked customer service jobs, and then I did the same thing you did. You stepped down back to part-time where you were cashiering.
Yeah.
And I did the same thing where I was getting like 20, 24 hours a week and starting to work with you. This was in 2019. Yeah. But when I lost that like responsibility and that title of like being a customer service manager and I went back to cashier, I started to feel that less than human feeling again. Because at least when you're working in customer service, like you get shit all the time from people, customers and your employees. Mm-hmm. But I got that back during the pandemic because a bunch of our workers started stepping down or taking sick leave.
Yeah.
And I was put in this situation where they asked me, do you want to go back to your original position? Even though I told them no.
Yeah. But
they made it like the store manager made it seem like they didn't really have a choice. So I decided to do it as I realized like everything around me was just getting crazier and crazier. I think in my mind I knew I was kind of out, like I had like I was starting to form a plan in my head, like I'm gonna be out of here in like 5 to 6 months.
That's when you started planning like you're gonna quit, you're gonna leave this place.
And it's like, oh well, maybe if I can, you know, get my old position back, get a pay raise, I can make some money and work as many, because I feel fine, like physically I feel fine. And because I've had so much, like, I don't know, I'm kind of a, I guess you could say, a negative person.
Yeah.
I have dark energy. I assume the worst all the time, which you're thinking like, oh my God, that must, it's exhausting.
Yeah.
But it prepared me for the pandemic because I wasn't scared to go out and work every day. Even though I had no idea what was going on, like with the uncertainty of it all, I just like, I kind of didn't care.
Because you're saying so, you had so much anxiety beforehand. Now, when the pandemic hit, you felt like, what was it? Like relief or?
No, almost like disassociated.
Oh.
Like I was able to go out there and disassociate myself and see how ridiculous and crazy things were.
Yeah. Was it like a slight awakening experience for you?
Yeah, because beforehand, I felt like a lot of more people were still pretending to, you know, live this lie.
Yeah.
Like put smiles on when they were unhappy, you know, working your 9 to 5 shift.
Yeah.
Everybody acts normal. That all went out, like, that started to change.
Yeah. COVID literally turned the world upside down.
Yeah.
And now more and more people are realizing what this world actually is and the facade that it actually is.
Yeah.
And I'm happier for it. It's just we have to, I don't know, like I want to see where this goes, and you know me, I'm always like saying like let's go revolution, but then Scott like warns me, you it's like it's not always good when there's a revolution, you know. So but that's like my like fire Aries, like let's tear this shit apart.
I want revolution too, but
yeah, I know.
So many, every revolution And I, like, we haven't even had one in our lifetime that we, well, we may have had some out of the country, but every revolution has failed in some sense, you know. And that's what I was talking about earlier with our podcast. Like, I'm not calling our podcast a revolution, but every everything in life, everything you do in life is a failure in some sense. Like, we're all, everything is a disaster. And there can be beautiful disasters. There's a lot, like, a lot of life is beautiful disasters.
What do you mean that everything you do is a disaster?
Even the successful, even, like, if you end up getting a successful career, you have to make mistakes. You have to embarrass yourself. Oh, you have to go through those humbling failures.
Right.
You had to go through failures starting your business, right? We went through so many failures with this, just getting this, trying to do this podcast.
This is so frustrating.
Change the name. Yeah. It's super frustrating. I feel like I'm having to reproduce the same podcast I've tried to do four times now.
Yeah, we try and we try and we're like, that's not, like, what is, it's partly like, for me, there was a battling of a lot of different fears and a lot of different issues that I was realizing I was confronting trying to start this podcast. I thought it was going to be, you know, easy peasy. We talk all the time. Me and Scott talk all the time.
I never shut up. I talk my ear off. God bless her.
You do. You talk my ear off. So I'm like, well, let's just start a podcast since we're always talking. This is going to be easy peasy. Let's name it, you know, something chatty, like we're chatting, we're talking. But then, like, when we did it, I realized I am really a private person and I don't really like to share that much about myself. So, number one. And number two, if I'm going to do this, I'm not going to just do this, like, aimlessly and not, like, just talking about nothing. You know what I mean? Like, I do want it to be entertaining, but also, like, I do... Like, not to sound, Scott always says, you don't want to sound pretentious, but I do want to help. Mm-hmm. Like, some way, some form of help, anyway, that we can. And I know Sam, sorry, that's my brother. Whoops. Scott is always like, well, why? I don't want to act like I know all the answers. We don't know all the answers. Like, we don't know shit. I am readily admitting that. Like, I don't know shit. I don't know shit. All I know is my experiences. So if I can share my experiences and maybe help someone through that, you know, that's the cliche. Just gotta, you know, share your experiences and then you help someone, you know, like opening up yourself. But it's true. It's true. It's like it's a cliche, but it is true. Because when I hear what other people are going through, it is helpful. So
that's what I was going to add on to what you were saying. For me, my hope is that there's somebody out there who can relate to what we're going through.
Yeah.
And maybe they haven't heard it be phrased before. Because I know there's a lot of times when I'm struggling mentally and I think I'm the only person going through this. And it is so mind-blowing.
Yeah,
when you find out that somebody else is going through like an eerily similar thing, it's like
you're not the only one.
You're not the only one.
It feels comforting. It feels comforting when you find out someone else is going through the same shit and you're not the only one. Because it really does feel like sometimes when you go through some hard ass shit that you're just the only one, and then when you find out like, oh, someone like this isn't. Just me, you know.
It's so hard though because we've gotten so separated from one another.
Yeah,
like humans. There's so much paranoia now, and you have to be But then, like they tell you,
are you talking about social media?
Social media. But then they also say, like, you know, in person, like, don't give a stranger your, like, you don't have any responsibility or entitlement to a stranger to give them your vulnerability, like your attention or whatever.
Oh, yeah. Well, there's such a,
with like the kidnapping thing going on.
Oh, yeah.
So
with the trafficking.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's.
So it's like, what do you do? What do we do to get people to connect again?
Yeah. It is interesting because with social media, you feel like you're connected more than ever. like, we're so available to each other through social media and text and, like, always responding and all that. We're really available. But on the other hand, because of that, I feel like we don't get together and see each other as often or, like, have a physical connection as often because we're so comfortable with just doing it through the phone or whatever that I feel like there's less and less physical connections.
Yeah.
I mean, that's not for everyone. You know, there's a lot of people that still get out there and do their thing. But I know I feel like I do less stuff with less people now that I'm getting older. Maybe that's an age thing, though. That might be an age thing. I have no idea. But
I sound like a broken record, but I think that's COVID.
COVID
convinced people, I don't need these problematic people in my life that are taking my energy. And then you start thinking about other people. It's like, well, do I have to go out ever?
Well, yeah, for a lot of people, COVID was such a relief.
Yes.
Yeah. Like, oh, good, I don't have to go. For you, definitely.
It became an excuse.
Yeah. It definitely is an excuse. It was
so funny that I remember my brother when the first Christmas from COVID was happening, and he was talking about, oh, I'm just going to go to everybody's drive. Like, I'm just going to drive over and drop off your gifts on the porch, and that's it. I'm just going to take off. Like, he sounded like he was having joy, like, right. Relief, being like, oh, I don't have to see you fuckers this year. This is what I'm going to do. I'm going to drop off your gifts and I'm going to get the hell out of here.
Hell out of that.
I thought that was so funny. Right? It was like so honest in a way that.
Yeah, like, see ya. Here you go. Here's your gift cards. Here's your stack of gift cards. Here you go. Bye.
Here's your Amazon gift card.
Right. Oh, man. That's another sad fact we always talk about. But yeah. Yeah. I heard a lot of people say that it was a relief and they miss COVID. There was some type of, it's like you have a responsibility to see people sometimes. So when that responsibility
obligation.
Obligation. I know you feel that more than me.
Oh, yeah.
You feel that obligation to see your, you know,
your
family,
your duty.
Or your friends. I don't see it as much as an obligation. Maybe I do. I don't know. But I look forward to seeing my friends and family.
Social
a little bit
chores.
More. Yeah, you social have more of that social chores. But that comes with your social anxiety, though.
Yeah. Yeah, it's mostly my projection and my mm-hmm. own insecurities. And wow, it really got magnified during COVID.
Yeah. Yeah. This is, you know, things that we talk about, try to figure out ourselves by just becoming more aware of your wounds are the stuff that blocks you from feeling like you're a normal person, basically. You know?
Mm-hmm. There is no normal.
No, there's not. There's no normal. And everything that you're going through, someone else is going through. There was a video on TikTok. Well, I constantly see videos on TikToks about people, you know, making some relatable experience. And you realize that every single experience or thought or, I don't know, like, it just does not seem original anymore. Like, the more and more I'm on TikTok, the more and more I realize, like, we are all the same. We do have very similar experiences and we are sharing this similar, without realizing it. We're more similar than different.
Especially now with the way things have become so homogenized, like the whole world has become like Americanized. So because of that, there's less like, that's why I think we're more relatable than ever though. Maybe that's a good thing because now we can start seeing how we relate to other people in vague ways.
Yeah. And that way TikTok is a gift because you can see videos from all around the world and realized people are just people and we're all connected and it's all love, guys. It's all love. Do I sound pretentious when I say that?
Yes.
Yeah. See, when I say things like that, I'm more spiritually inclined than Scott. You know, Scott's more philosophy. Like when I tell him a spiritual thought or like a spiritual idea, basically, like, oh, we're all just spirits living in our human experience or something like that, or I don't know, something, whatever, spiritual. Sky always tells me the philosopher who, I don't know, has that idea or the philosophy behind it. And I'm like, oh, okay. Like, I don't know what to say. It's like you always give like the philosophy background of everything.
The two are very similar.
Yeah.
And yet there's really no overlap in either field. Like neither field seems to want to acknowledge the other. The only example of like a philosopher or psychologist that has any kind of weight in like the realm of crystals and spirituality is Carl Jung.
Yeah.
But it's interesting because he's the guy who coined the term collective unconscious, I believe, which was what you're saying is going on right now, right? Where people are collectively starting to begin to relate to others unconsciously.
Mm-hmm. That was the one that I did hear of and I did recognize when you talk about, but I'm now, because of you, I'm learning more and more of who and who is and who it, yeah, that was a bad sentence. Who and who is, who and who. Sometimes you got to catch me in these like sentences that I try to say.
It's less important to like remember who said it and just try to like remember the concepts. I'm not trying to.
True.
I used to fall into this like bad thought pattern where I thought this is another flaw of mine where I heavily compare myself to other people.
Yeah.
All the time. We all do it. But like every time I would find like a new concept from a philosopher, I'd be like, oh man, he's such a badass. I really relate to that. So I'm going to like go down a rabbit hole and just obsessively pore over everything he's done. Yeah. It's usually a man in philosophy.
Yeah.
Especially like classical philosophy. But yeah, like, but that would extend to, you know, a musician or my favorite athlete / pro wrestler. Let's not kid ourselves here. I don't like competitive sports, quote unquote. I like pro wrestling. Okay.
Wrestling. Yeah. Scott's a huge wrestling fan. Yeah. I wanted to say the word, unfortunately, but I stopped myself. And then now
I've been pretty good about it lately. I've kept it to myself.
Yeah. Well, I can admit the behind the scenes thing of how it operates is interesting to me, but when like actually sitting down and like watching a show,
oh, it's pretty mediocre now right now on all fronts. Yeah.
I mean, I'll give it its props. It's produced a lot of stars, you know, but I'm used to, I guess. And I'm not too entertained by it, I must say, but when you do explain like the politics of it, that's when I get interested.
The petty drama.
Ooh, I love some drama. Yeah. Give me some tea. I need some tea.
But going back to my point about like idolizing people, I feel like a lot of us do that now because we're impressionable and because we're in this system where we have to work sometimes upwards of 80, some people work 100 hours a week.
Oh my God, yeah.
We don't have time. We don't have the emotional stamina to like figure out what we actually like or want to do. Because if you're worked that much, you don't have the leisure time to like really go out of your way to find new interests and passions. So I think a lot of us latch on to a couple of people that like we might relate to. And then we obsessively, we put our foot in their camp and we're like, okay, or our entire bodies into their camp. It'll be like, okay, I'm going to listen to this guy and this guy only because I don't have time for much else, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. That. So you're saying like if people follow somebody like on social media, maybe they get...
Like an influencer. And then that influencer determines your opinion.
True. Somebody like those like problematic... like Jordan Peterson or whatever. I don't know.
Didn't drop Jordan. Okay.
I don't. Well, I just know that he's problematic. I really don't know what he
He's in the anti-trans camp. He's going after, like, he hates the pronoun thing.
Okay, and, I got it. Yeah. Now I remember. Yeah, okay.
I'm not sure what he's up to now, but, it's...
And I just remember the sound of his voice. It was just like...
Kermit the Frog.
Yeah, like that. I just remember that.
Up yours, woke moralist. We'll see who cancels who.
Right. God, that's right. Oh, my God. Yeah. Anyway, sorry I mentioned him, but people, I'm just giving him as an example. People do cling on to these, I don't know, influencer types or people that have, what is he? Is he like a person of, like, is he, what would he call himself?
Well, he's a psychologist.
I don't know.
He's a professor.
Yeah.
Or he used to be. Now he's like a YouTube sensation.
Okay.
He used to be a YouTube
sensation.
Yeah, I think he taught at like the University of Toronto or some prestigious university in Canada. He taught He taught Nietzsche, Sigmund Freud.
Okay.
But in a very like conservative sense, and in my opinion, a lot of like misinterpretations of those of those theorists.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Yeah. What a man likes to do. No, just kidding. Interpret.
Yeah, he definitely misinterprets. Yeah. And a lot of people still follow every word he says.
So, like, that brings the topic of, like, influencers. And I don't know. I think we've talked about this before. But
not on this podcast.
Yeah. On many, many podcast episodes ago that will be never aired and you will never hear. Just the idea how people can be obsessed about a certain person you follow without even like kind of realizing it, that you love a person and you build these like parasocial relationships, which is very interesting to me, because you feel like you know these people. They don't know you.
They don't give you anything back.
They give their content, and through their content. But they
can't give their like personal.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It's very interesting to me how you can feel like you know somebody, but then they don't know you at all.
I could go into some embarrassing stories of myself.
Trying to reach out?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like when Patreon first became a thing, like one of the first people I started pledging or whatever you want to call it, giving them money every month, it gives you this, or it gave me at the time, like this sense of entitlement. Well, I'm financially supporting you so I can offer you my criticism or whatever.
Oh my God.
And there is this one guy, I he's a video game content creator. He goes off on like these very like profound, like he's a very intelligent person, like intimidatingly so.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I thought like I had a suggestion for him, and I had like this five paragraph. I spent like 3 hours on it. I was just obsessing over it.
Yeah.
My point was, it was weird, and I regret doing it. But he kept announcing like the date of when he was gonna drop his latest video, and I was getting annoyed because he kept like saying, "Okay, it's coming out this day," and then it wouldn't come out. So I'm like, you're just a liar. You keep promising. And I'm looking, like, I'm setting aside time because I was still working at Kroger at the time. So if I hear it's coming out and it's my day off, I'm planning my day around that.
Yeah, this is what I'm looking forward to.
Yes, exactly. Oh, and I told him that.
Oh, my God. You confronted him?
And I got the worst response. And I tried to frame it as diplomatically as possible. I spent like 3 hours on this. I tried to be as understanding, self-aware, polite as a crazy person could be about to critique somebody about the method of sending out videos.
Yeah.
And I got the worst response back. I got nothing back.
Nothing back.
And that indifference, hit me. It hit me as like, it hurt.
What am I doing?
And also eventually, thank God, what am I doing?
Yeah. That you came to your senses, I hope, right?
Yeah, eventually.
Yeah, you can get obsessive about stuff.
Yeah, I realize I'm getting better with it.
Yeah, you are getting better with it. And that's what this is about, like our awareness of ourselves and seeing, like getting back to the topic of, starting this podcast of ours, and we had to check our intentions of, you know, what we wanted to do. And then also I had to confront my fears. Like, I realized there was a legitimate, it probably still is there. I don't know. I feel once I realized it, once you realize something about yourself, it's easier trying to like process it. And
yeah, because you were uncomfortable in when we tried to do the podcast originally, because you were uncomfortable about opening up about stuff that you didn't want to talk about.
Right. And I realized I had a legitimate fear of opening up about myself in a way that, because I can be a very lighthearted, goofy person, and I kind of sit at that lighthearted goofiness where I just make jokes about shit. And if I do get down in the dumps about some shit, I have to lift, like, get in this like goofy place pretty quickly to not feel sad. I don't like feeling sad, so I try to like get out of it real fast. And then when you do open up about, you know, issues or anything that you're dealing with, and you have all these emotions about it, I realized just doing that, I have just like, a fear, or just like this resistance and uncomfortableness of doing it. And it's probably my moon sign. I'm a Capricorn moon, and I always refer back to astrology. I tell Scott this all the time. Like, it's your Scorpio Mercury or whatever, you know. I always talk to him about astrology, but I do have a Capricorn moon, and Capricorns don't like to feel their emotions, or just don't, you know, they don't feel the emotions. They don't want to feel it. And I know that. I do know that about myself. But then actually, when we went down to sit and do this podcast, I was like, oh shit, I really don't want to get into that. Like, I got uncomfortable.
So what changed? Because, you know, we try to do, like, we've done these podcasts very recently. So yeah, this was a quick turnaround.
Well, let's try to get
back. Well, okay, this is another difference between you and me, is you're much more in that realm of astrology. And I do, like, I'm starting to learn more about astrology. And I'm starting to see how it's been such an oppressed science for centuries now. Like, I see astrology as legitimate science, and I feel like even saying that in 2023 is somehow a controversial opinion, because it has been so oppressed for so long.
Yeah
It's buried, or whatever you want to call it.
It's been around, it just hasn't been like mainstream for now it's getting more popular than ever, I would say.
Well, it's as popular as it's been in my lifetime, for sure.
Yeah.
Like, when you started the business, it was right before the crystal market exploded. And now it's like at a point where we're past it a little bit, but it's there was an oversaturation period where everybody and their mother was getting into the crystal business, right?
Yeah, that's true. I feel like it is still kind of saturated. It is what it is. When that happened, it was a blessing, and like, not a curse, but like a blessing, and just like, okay, now I have to really, if I really want to run this crystal business, it has to be something that I have to make sure that I'm on it, adapting. You feel like this a little bit more of a competitive way that you have to run it, in a sense. It's like a little more of that hustle, because it's so saturated now. And before, I didn't feel that as hard or strongly. But it is what it is. I enjoy it. I still enjoy it. And it is good. It's mostly good, because now there just are a lot more people into crystals. And it's a sign that people are on their way trying to heal themselves, basically, and they'll go to any lengths that they haven't before to try to get to a place of healing, including crystals.
So what can the crystal do? Because the crystal by itself can't heal you, right? Like, what is the crystal within astrology? Like, what is its purpose? It's a tool, right?
Yeah, it's a tool. And that's what I would always say when people ask me at Eastern Market, like, about crystals or try to, like, not challenge me, but just, like, ask any, how do I use these or what is this, you know? And that's the main point that I would relay. Like, you are actually the person that's doing the healing. Like, you are actually providing the healing. You are the healer. Crystals are just a tool to help you get on that path of healing. Just like anything else, astrology is a tool. You know, there's a lot of divination. How do you say that word? Divination?
Mm-hmm.
Tools that
you're not getting out of the park today. I don't think you flubbed one word.
I know. I'm very concentrated today.
It's highly irregular.
I know. Usually I'm just, my tongue is stuck in my mouth and I can't say blah, 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 anything. Today, I put a blue apatite sphere in the middle of our table. And blue apatite is supposed to, like, facilitate communication, ease, you know, the social ease, basically, helps you just talk. And that's why I put that sphere in the middle of our table. So maybe we can get any type of energy that can help us talk fluently and easily, and not me just stumbling over my words all the time. Because when I listen back to these podcasts, I'm like, ew, like, to my voice all the time, or what I'm saying, or just the lack of pronunciation in my case all the time. Yeah. So crystals are just a tool. Me and you are both on a healing journey together, would you say?
Yeah. So you're much further on than I am. But yes, here I go comparing again.
Yeah. Yeah, that's one thing that Scott has you've been trying to work on, letting go what other people of you.
Mm-hmm. I feel like I'm suffering imposter syndrome right now. Like, I don't feel like I'm a successful person.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I feel like my, whatever that means, but like, I don't.
I feel like, and here we go with the I feels. I feel. Honestly, at any point of quote unquote success, you never feel that, oh, I'm successful. Like, I've never felt that in any point that I've run my business, no matter how many sales that I've gotten, or how many sales, like, goals that I hit, or, you know, even hitting like 100K on Instagram and followers. Like, it's nice. It's very nice. And I'm going to say I did put a lot of work into that. But when you do hit a certain number or hit a certain thing to make it seem like, feel like you're successful, the feeling is not there. It's always something
like a feeling of contentment.
No, yeah, there's no,
which is probably a good thing, because that sounds like once you get that, it's like, okay, then what do you do? Like, it's not, you know, it's, like, contentment is something a human self is never going to be able to achieve. I feel like there's always some kind of desire, you know, that even if you grab something successful or you get that success, then you're going to want to do something else.
Right. It's like, well, now what?
Yeah. Now what?
Even in Instagram followers is a great example of this, because no matter what number you hit, it's still not going to be enough in a sense where you're gonna feel like validated. Because even when I would hit like 10k, 20k, 30k, it didn't really mean shit. Like, it was just like, oh well, I could get to 50k, or I will, like, there was still like a higher number that you can always hit, so you're never really like
I used to think having like a high follower count would give me some kind of peace.
No,
it would do the complete opposite.
Such a lie. It's all a lie. All that shit's a lie. Doesn't matter. And then people fake their follower count.
Right, you can buy bots followers, or like server farms or whatever they're called. Yeah.
And for me, because I you know, run a crystal business, I know at least 50% of those followers are other crystal businesses trying to sell crystals to me. I swear to God.
They don't care about you.
No. I swear. And people tell me in my lives when they come in my live, it never fails that people, other accounts, other crystal accounts, follow them or message them or whatever, and they have to block them. It's really ridiculous right now, to be honest. But that's the whole sham of it all. Like, it doesn't matter how many followers you have. It really doesn't. And it's not going to do anything for your self-esteem or your validation. Like, that is a lie, I feel.
Need a glass of water. Well, that's good to hear. I'm just going to give up on all of my goals and just never be disappointed again. I'm just kidding.
Well, there is a point where I had to stop being so hard on myself. And this is one of those things where I'm realizing on this healing journey, I'm realizing that I'm way too hard on myself. I've never really given myself a break. And I have to get to a point where I radically love myself. Everything about me, including my quote unquote flaws.
Oh, now you sound like someone.
So who do I sound like?
Slavoj Žižek.
Oh, see, this is an example right here.
You use two words he uses all the time. Oh,
see, this is right in the action. We are right in the thick of it, of an example. I say something and Scott's like, oh, that reminds me of so-and-so who said a philosopher said this and that. And I'm like, okay. Like, no, I'm not dismissive about it. Am I dismissive about your
food? No. No, I think it's funny.
Yeah. You always just refer to it. So how deep are you still reading philosophy books now?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So it's not going to end anytime soon.
Sorry. No, probably not. Yeah. No, I'm starting to calm down with it.
Yeah.
After I quit Kroger and I had more free time, which I didn't have much of before, I don't feel like. I think it's not just like theory and philosophy that I found a love for. I found my passion for reading again.
Yeah.
I want to read so many books right now of all different types. I want to read fiction, nonfiction, autobiographies, travelogues.
Good for you.
I just want to have that book in my hand.
Oh, that's so good. Oh, you're so
You used to love to read. What happened?
Well, I don't want... If you notice, I said that with a little contentment. I am jealous that he's on this like reading journey. And I used to be a very
Didn't you read 56 books reader. One summer?
Yeah, that was like when that was in elementary school. I had this goal. I'm going to read 66 books in one summer vacation. And I did.
That's impressive.
And then when I told my friend that, she said I was a nerd and was like, why would you do that? And I was like, oh, okay. I know. Yeah. I think that's when we kind of stopped being friends. But anyway, yeah, I used to be a reader, a lot of fiction, biographies, or any type of shit now. And now I read once in a while, barely. And I do want to get back on track with it, or back, like, just get in the habit of it. Well, it's
back,
all habits.
Back on the wagon.
What was I saying before that, before you interrupted me with the philosophy? Oh, I feel like I should go back to that.
Radicalize love. You want to love. Oh, yes. You want to embrace your love in all of its glory and warts and, you know.
Yeah, love myself, basically. Yeah. As much as I think I do love myself, there's always room for improvement and there's always room for more, which I'm learning. Because I thought I loved myself, but now I'm realizing I definitely do have some hangups that I don't love and I was still very hard on myself about. And this is one of my self-doubt that is definitely one of my biggest wounds or what? What
you're,
is that?
You're doing the shadow work now.
Yeah. Yeah, the shadow work.
You're uncovering your dark night of the soul. The Owl of Minerva.
Now you're just
takes
like,
off at midnight.
Now you're just like just saying terms that you don't even know if it applies. Cause I feel like when you go through you go through a dark night of the soul when you do this stuff and you're realizing about yourself. You're like in the
But it was like you were saying, you want to be more open with the stuff in your life that makes you uncomfortable. And that is not easy.
Yeah.
It is not easy. It's easy to like remind yourself of the things that you do love about yourself mm-hmm. when you're going on a healing journey.
Yeah.
But if you're not addressing the things that make you cringe or, you know, your negative thought patterns that will continue to recur if you don't start to address them, you know, that's what you're on the path.
Yeah.
It's a never ending process. It's I feel like you did spend a lot of time working on that a few years ago. Mm-hmm. And then you went, it's like an oscillation between the two poles.
Yeah.
And now you're back, you're going back. You're towards revisiting. You're revisiting your trauma, which is always there. It's always going to be there. It's always
there. And this is another lesson that I've learned. Even if you think you fixed an issue, it's still there, folks. It's still there. Mm-hmm. And you realize it's still there when you come to something and you react a certain way and you're like, oh, I thought I fixed this. I thought I realized about myself and I thought I was better. But it's like a reminder in a sense. Are you over this still? Are you completely healed from this? No, you're not. But that's what this human thing is you're just continuously working on shit because we forget all the time.
Mm-hmm.
We forget. That's the most frustrating thing about being on this planet is the way that we forget.
Obvious things. We like truths or things we thought we knew about ourselves that we thought we, like you said,
you think we're always going to remember.
Yeah.
You think you're always going to remember the shit that you figure out at that moment. You're like, oh yeah, I'll always remember this. And then out it goes, out your brain.
I have this thought pattern almost every day. It usually happens after like I smoke weed or take an edible when mm-hmm. I'm feeling good, like in my body, like my body feels good. So therefore my mind feels good. I'll have this thought pattern that recurs every day where it's like, oh, you finally figured out the secret. You've never seen it that way before. And because of that, your life is going to start getting easier and you're never going to encounter any friction in your life ever again.
You figured out the secret to life and this is the solution.
And that feeling wears off. Like sometimes you could take it to bed with you and then you wake up the next morning, it's gone.
Is that because you're mostly high or is it because do you have those thoughts when you're not high?
I feel like the body high makes me, makes my mind more at ease. And that's when I'm able to do like some productive, healthy, like mental work, not always. And it can be problematic if you start focusing on it too much because then you're just in your head and you're not really living out in the world. You have to have a balance of both, like, yes, your mind has to be healthy and balanced, but also if you're just making your mind healthy and balanced so you can like spend your entire existence in your home.
Right.
Like, what do you, you know, what's the point? That's what I'm battling right now is I'm like, yes, like COVID has gotten me out of the horrible job situation I was in because I was having a very rough time in 2019 with that job. But I got over it and I made a huge change by quitting that job, a huge life change. And I remember thinking, oh, yeah, this is going to be the thing that makes me go on the path of like, you know, now I'm on the right path or whatever. And now, you know,
it was just the beginning.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like when you quit your job, that was just the beginning for you because you had to confront a lot of stuff. Mm-hmm. Once you don't have this miserable job to distract you. So now that it's just you and you figuring it out and me helping you. There's just a lot. You confronted a lot, I feel like. And you've come a long way. I will give you those words of affirmation.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Yeah, you've come a long way. Scott used to be a lot more miserable. I will say that. He used to be so much more angry, I guess, or what would you say? Like distracted for sure.
Mm-hmm.
You never, ever listened.
I'm becoming a better listener.
Yeah. Weren't too good at listening. A little more reactive. You know, that still happens. But when you're in that pressure of that job, you're just trying to work and survive. And like, you're not really trying to work on yourself at all. which you you weren't able to.
You don't have, like, you're just in survival mode.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You weren't able to work on yourself at all. And now you are working on yourself. And that's what we're both trying to do. And this is why we're here, right? This is why we're here. Because mm-hmm. this is mostly for us. Let's be honest. It's mostly for us. Like, we want to talk out our issues and our...
What else you got?
What else you got? What else you got? What are your problems? You got a problem with me? What's your problem with me? I don't even know what accent that is.
Problem.
There it comes. It's the... I don't even know. I was trying to think of a cartoon character.
But... I don't know. I'm getting tired, though. We're on hour 10.
Hour 10?
Hour and 10 minutes. I'm running on empty.
You are?
Yes.
Well... So I hope you enjoyed this introduction episode of Higher Self, Take the Wheel. I almost forgot. I almost said Late to the Potty. That's the old title, which is so dumb.
And you used to introduce the podcast Late to the Potty by saying, hello, this is another episode of Welcome to the Party.
I said the title wrong. I couldn't even say the title right. Here we are agreeing on this title, Late to the Potty, and then I would start off the episode like, welcome to party, late party. I don't even know. I would so mess bad. It up.
It was such a cringy
title.
Like, it meant it was like, it was a pun, but also like it kind of made sense, but also it's like, okay, what's with the Boston? We're from the Midwest, Michigan. We're not from Boston. Why would we say potty? And then second of all, it's like, late to the potty? Like, are you shitting in your pants? Yeah. What do you do? You run into the bathroom and you didn't make it? That's what the podcast. We're and that's late what that to podcast the potty was.
And we shit our pants.
That, trying to edit that podcast together was a disaster.
Oh, it was. Hopefully this one will, when we edit this, hopefully this will be a lot better. Let's pray. Let's pray.
Well, let's end on that note.
Yeah. Let us pray.
Okay.